name, Jesus. You're the Lamb of God. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Yes, worthy is your name.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning, this evening. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. If you wouldn't mind standing. How many electricians does it take to wire a building? I'm going to title the thought here tonight. Going to sound strange to you, but overcoming our past. We've been in a series on overcoming, and we want to go this direction, feel led to go this direction tonight. It may sound a little strange to you, but we trust that before we are finished, it'll be familiar to you. Overcoming our past. Not saying rewriting it, but overcoming it. I'd like to read from Romans. We'll read chapter 12, starting at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, how do we renew our mind? By the renewing of your mind. Excuse me. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it's replacing your will with his will and your thoughts with his thoughts. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. So even though we're not all the same member, we are members one of another. We're related, friends. We're connected. And not just in some kind of theoretical way. We're literally connected. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. That means it's not hypocritical. It's genuine. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. My goodness, if he says any more, we're going to be too busy, aren't we? There's a lot here, isn't there? Distributing to the necessity of saints, giving to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, it's not always possible, but as it is possible. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So that means evil can be overcome. And only overcomers will overcome. How many overcomers are here tonight? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we come to you once again tonight, Lord. We don't have any strength of our own. We don't have any, Lord, there's nothing that we have that we can offer you that you didn't already give us. And there's nothing that we can brag about. There's nothing that we can get puffed up over, because whatever we are by your grace. But Lord, we surrender now from the pulpit to the back door, and we admit, Lord, that we need you more than we've ever needed you. And Father, we just want you to speak to our hearts, each and every one this evening, according to our needs tonight, Lord, and according to your good pleasure and according to your will. And Father, may we be transformed more and more into that glorious image that has been prophesied that would be here in the end time, the image of thy dear Son manifested in human flesh. Father, we love you so much. We ask that you forgive us, Lord, of our failures, our mistakes, our sins, Lord. Father, we ask that you bless our brothers, our sisters, each and every one. And Father, teach us how to love our enemies and bless and curse not. Teach us how to overcome evil with good, Lord. Teach us how to surrender to you and take on a different mind. Teach us how to become willing and completely surrendered tabernacles to your presence. We love you now. We thank you. And we ask these things in great confidence, in the name above all names, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 You may be seated. We're going to take a text from John chapter 4 and then also Luke chapter 7 here in just a moment. John chapter 4, we'll read verses 16 through 18. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. And then again from Luke chapter 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. Imagine that, a sinner. That's horrible, isn't it? Behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spoke within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of a woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Oh my, why would Jesus get anywhere near a sinner? That's just horrible. It shows he wasn't a prophet. Must have been a good man, but couldn't have been a prophet, because he'd have known she was a sinner, and he wouldn't have got within a square mile of her. Aren't you glad he made his reputation amongst sinners? May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word tonight. We've all no doubt heard these verses many, many times, and they're very familiar to us. And these two women that are the objects of these two stories are familiar to us because of that. And we, when we think of these women, we often focus our attention on the fact that they were both termed as ill-famed women. When we say ill-famed, what we're saying is they are famous. They're so famous that we're still talking about them today. But their fame is something not to be proud of. they are marked by their sin in such a manner that anyone, whether it be saint or sinner, it didn't matter who you were, anybody could see what kind of a life it was that they were living. And if we aren't careful, we will look upon women such as these as marked for life. We might think that there's no way that women such as these could ever be the bride of Jesus Christ. This is beyond salvation, the bride of Jesus Christ. Some sin we look upon and we say, well, you know, everybody's done that at one time or another. And we tend to put sin on a scale of say 1 to 10, and with 10 being the worst. But sin is unbelief. And we're all guilty of sin. We are all born in sin. We were all unbelievers from our mother's womb. And we have all come short of the glory of God. And many would categorize sexual sin as a 10 on the scale of 1 to 10, or maybe they'd give it an 11. And they would put stretching the truth at maybe one half of one, or maybe just barely even on the scale. But what we want to look at this evening is not so much the symptoms of sin, because the condition that we find these women in, those are symptoms. Those weren't the problem. But we want to see what it was that caused these women to be in that condition that they were in to begin with. And what we will see is that something happened to both of these women. These women both have something in common. Something happened that injured both of these women spiritually in their spirit realm. And those injuries stayed with them. And those injuries showed on the outside damage that had taken place on the inside in the spirit realm. Both of these girls, oh, think about it, friends. Both of these girls were once somebody's little baby. Which one of us tonight, if we could go back in time, knowing what we know tonight about them, knowing the situation, knowing the condition that they were found when Jesus was on the scene, if we had an opportunity tonight to go back in time and hold these little baby girls when they were babies, which one of us would look at that baby and say, you know, I know your future. And I'm here to tell you that you're no good, little baby. You look at that little baby and I mean, you wouldn't say there's no hope for you and you're despised and somebody ought to just throw you in the trash heap right off the bat. You don't even have a chance. Because I know the condition that Jesus is going to find you in. Nobody in their right mind would do that. There'd have to be something wrong with you. When we would look upon them, we would see how fragile they are. And we would see that there wouldn't be any wounds or scars on their spirit at that time. There would be a trust. There would be an innocence. And we would do everything in our power to protect that child from evil. We would do everything to guard their spirit from the ravages of this cold and cruel world. Amen? Many of us have been injured in the spirit realm by things that happened to us as we were growing up. Or conditions that we experienced in life, either in early childhood or later on in life. Maybe somebody was raised in a broken home. Or maybe you had a parent that was an alcoholic or a drug addict. Or maybe only one parent was home and you were sent back and forth between parents. Or maybe your mom and dad was abused and so they abused you in some fashion when you were growing up. Don't get quiet on me tonight. And it injured their spirit. And it left scars on them that never completely healed. And of course, then they passed on those injuries. Since they were injured and they were never healed of that injury, they passed that on to their children by treating them the same way or holding them and treating them with the same treatment that they got when they were young. If a parent isn't loved, a lot of times they'll grow up not knowing how to love and they'll pass that on to their children. And these things, they get passed on from one generation to the next unless something comes along and breaks that cycle. Can I preach tonight? Some might have been molested by a family member or by a neighbor or by someone in a position of authority, somebody that they trusted, and it leaves a scar on their spirit. Some of us lack love that we should have received in our childhood, and it left scars on our spirit. 2901 South Pantano Road, right? And those scars, they will lay right there until the Word of God comes and breaks the effect that they still have on our human spirit. Now, we're not talking about the soul here tonight. God heals the soul. When you're born again of the Spirit of God in the soul, there's nothing wrong with your soul. There's no scars, there's no wounds. It's been birthed by the Holy Spirit. And it's sealed. Nothing can touch it. It's sealed until the day of its redemption. But our spirit realm needs healing still. Just as our physical bodies need healing, and our physical bodies will need healing clear up until the body change. Listen to this from the Message Influence. Brother Brown says, and here she was standing, as we would call her today, a woman of ill fame. A street prostitute or something. Maybe a child had been turned out and let go by parents. And too often, too many of them today. But here was this lovely, pretty, young, maybe teenage woman. Maybe in her 18th year, she would be out of high school. And here she had took the road that's wrong, and the morals of her life was decayed. And she had nothing that she could hold on to, yet she was a pretty girl. This is that woman that Brother Branham is talking about. He says she was about 18 years old. She had had five husbands. And the one that she was living with at that time was not her husband. Now, what caused this? Surely, when she was a little baby in her mother's arms, surely it wasn't in her at that time to behave like this. What caused this? We find her at 18 years old, she was behaving badly. We can all agree on that, right? But what caused her to end up living like this? Something had caused her to live that way. And the cause was something that was actually beyond her own will. In fact, it's not fair for you to blame her. This was beyond her own will. In other words, something happened to her that injured her in the spirit realm in such a way that it left her open to following this type of a lifestyle. She was scarred, wounded, and scarred at an early age. And the cause of it was her mother and father. Her mother and father had turned her out to live on the street, Brother Branham says. And she didn't choose to live on the street. Help me out now. It was a mother and a father that did not take responsibility for her. It was a mother and a father that did not raise her properly, did not protect her, did not nurture her, did not teach her the ways that were right. And yet her name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How could that possibly be? Jesus came to the earth to find that woman. And he said, I must needs go by Samaria because one of my father's children is laying there in a prison house. She's in a prison house and she can't get free. And I've come to set her free. See, friends, she's a predestinated seed. There's a predestinated seed of God that laid down in her soul. And it was waiting for moisture to come. It was waiting for the sun to come and strike that seed. A predestinated seed that came to the earth from God. Oh my. And yet it was wrapped in a spirit that had been so scarred that you wouldn't imagine. If looking at that spirit, you wouldn't imagine there's a real gene seed lying underneath that scar tissue, if you will. She had been battered in the spirit realm, cut in the spirit realm, and she was now scarred beyond recognition. She was looked down upon by everybody that came past her. This is from Sirs We Would See Jesus. He says, while they were gone, there was a pretty woman come out there. The disciples had to be sent away because Jesus wouldn't be able to talk to her with the disciples there. They would have looked at her real judgmentally. She was of ill fame. We know what you mean there, the red light type. But she might have been a lovely girl, no doubt. But what, she was a lovely girl. But maybe she had something to cause that. Maybe her mother turned her on the street when she was a kid. You know, we talk so much in America about juvenile delinquency. It ain't juvenile delinquent, it's parent delinquency. Sometimes a girl goes wrong because her mother didn't make her do right. That's exactly right, he says. Lots of times it's parents' fault, not children. It's juvenile delinquency. We've got a great responsibility as parents. As parents, we are responsible to raise our children in the way that they should go. And we have a promise that when they're old, they won't depart from it. And we have a responsibility to correct them when they do go wrong. Correct them in love, as our Father corrects us in love, but correction nevertheless. But sometimes parents were scarred by their parents. And maybe they had parents that were too hard on them. And because that scar is still there in their life, they end up going the total opposite direction and they end up failing to make their children do right. Instead, they make excuses for them. Instead, they try to cover up for them. Instead, they just give them way too much rope. And there's only one thing, once those scars accumulate in our spirit, there's only one thing that can take away an injury in the spirit realm, and that's the living word of God. Science can't do it. Mental strength can't do it. Strong will can't do it. Psychology can't do it. And even though talking about it can be good, it does not have the power to heal that place in the spirit realm. And Satan knows this, friends. Satan also knows that we are what we eat physically. And he's studied our genetic makeup, and he knows that when we eat perverted foods, when we eat hybridized food, that it adds to or takes away things that our body needs to be healthy. It adds things that are not good, and it takes away things that are necessary in order for us to be healthy. And then that perverted food can cause cancer to grow in our cells. And it can cause mistakes to take place in the duplicating of the DNA in our cells as they replicate themselves. And it can then pass these things on to our children, and our children have no choice in the matter. Can you say amen to that? Satan knows that that's true in the spirit realm also. When a person is wounded in the spirit, it's not your mind that's wounded, it's not your brain that's wounded. The wound is in your human spirit. Brother Brown said, we don't love by the mind, or we don't love by the flesh. We love from the spirit realm. Your spirit is your communication channel. And a wounded spirit is like a wounded cell that's been bruised. Many types of sickness that we have in our bodies are caused by a cell that somehow is injured, it's wounded, it's bruised. And Brother Branham tells us that a spirit comes and attaches itself to that wounded cell, begins to live off of that cell. Those cells begin to multiply, and it ends up killing the host that it's living off of. The same thing is true in our spirit realm. Things can happen. We can get injured in our spirit realm, and then a spirit will come and attach itself to that area. Amen? Our spirit can be wounded by the evil things that happened to us in our past, or how we were treated, or conditions, and then something will come and lay there in that spirit realm in that spot, and it will affect you. Somebody say amen. And even those that are born again of the Spirit of God are still wounded, and Satan will use that thing to cause trouble to them, and it will affect their relationships with other people as well. I realize this isn't a shouting kind of a message, but when it really gets a hold of you and you realize that God is your complete healer, it'll cause you to shout. When Jesus met this woman at the well and talked to her, he was contacting her spirit. He wasn't contacting her soul, and he certainly wasn't there to fraternize with her flesh. He was going after her spirit. Brother Branham says, in the spirit was a collection of scars. He says here in the way to have fellowship, he said, what brought on juvenile delinquency was parent delinquency. The parent failing to take care of the children. You remember a few years ago when my boy was born? That has been about, I think he's about 19 now. I remember the doctor told my wife, said, just let that kid squall. Said, it ain't going to hurt him. And if grandma comes along to pick him up, said, tell her to keep her hands off of him. Said, he ought to be crib broke at about 6 months old. He says, now you know better than that. Well, some of you do. The rest of you are just staring at me. That's no way to treat a baby. He says, you know better than that. He says, that sounds like the talking of a witch doctor instead of a real doctor. And then you know what it hatched out? It hatched out a bunch of neurotics and a bunch of gangsters. Listen, God gave you a baby to love. I don't care how bad you spoil it. Love it anyhow. That's right. Love it. And if you don't love it now, it'll grow up in a cold home and indifferent. And it'll seek love somewhere or something. And it'll make outlight for somewhere. Mother, take that baby and give it fellowship and love now. Make it a part of you, which it is. And act like it. And hug it. And kiss it. And love it. Don't be too cold with the things of the world. God gave you that as a treasure. Raise it right. Amen. A child that's raised up in a cold home will be scarred by that. And it will affect how that child acts towards its children when it becomes a parent. And how it acts towards its mate and others. Some children are so scarred that they will vow that they will never have children of their own. And they will actually seek out and marry somebody else that was similarly scarred as a child. And they will agree not to have children. I have a sister that's done that. I'll tell you a little bit more about it later. What we need to recognize tonight, friends, is that even after we're born again of the Spirit of God, we still have things in our spirit realm that need to be dealt with. There's where the overcoming is at. There's no overcoming in the soul. You've already overcome. And if these things are not dealt with, they will affect our lives. And they will affect the lives of those around us. And we need to realize that God wants to send his word. And he wants to heal our spirit just as he wants to heal our soul. Just as he wants to heal our body. Just as he wants us to prosper in health even as our soul prospers. And when our spirits are healed of past injuries, we are now free from that injury and we have overcome it. You're not free from the memory. You're not free from the experience. But you're free from whatever hold it's had on you. Whatever damage it's done to you. Hallelujah. Sometimes people are injured by pastors that were overbearing. Or pastors that abused the trust that the lady had in them and that the lady placed in them and they were injured, whether it be through a false doctrine or wrong teaching or physically or being overbearing. And unless that injury in the spirit is healed by God, that person will struggle with having confidence in a God-sent man as being their pastor. And they'll not be heard again. But they'll not be helped either. They'll not trust because they won't dare to be injured again, physically or spiritually, whichever it was. And a pastor can't be used to help that person when that person doesn't have confidence in their pastor. Now, you've known me long enough and you know me tonight that I'm not trying to promote a pastor as your Holy Spirit. That's not what we're talking about. But God gives you pastors. And he says, seek out your pastor. Amen. And then God said, through that, I'm going to mold you and shape you and exhort you and teach you and train you, correct you, whatever. Well, I shouldn't have said correct. So that's why Brother Branham was told, if you can get the people to believe you, nothing stands before your prayers. In other words, if the people aren't going to have confidence, then your prayer won't amount to anything. Many times believers will enter into relationships that believers that were injured in their past, and they'll enter into relationships and they bring these injuries into the relationship. And the only cure for that is the Word of God to heal that human spirit. A girl that never had real love from a father, she will struggle in her relationship with her husband. And that will then affect her daughters, because she'll leave that as a legacy for her daughters. Here's a woman that had five husbands, and the one that she's currently with is not her husband. And the cause of it was a mama that didn't love her like she should have, and didn't raise her as she should have. And this girl grows up, and she eventually gets married. She's looking for love. But the thing is, friends, she doesn't look for the right kind of love in her husband. Now, before you start tearing into her, realize how important this is. She doesn't know what real love is. She's never been given an example of it. So she goes looking for love, and she doesn't find the right kind of love. She chooses a husband where she thinks she's going to get it, but it isn't the right kind of love. Her marriage ends up being loveless, and eventually she breaks up. And then she tries again with another man. Now she's 18, and she's had five, and she's on her sixth. She tries again with another man. And this goes on five times. And finally, she must have gotten to the place where she says, you know, I don't believe that what I'm looking for is possible. I don't believe that it's even out there. And so she says, forget marriage. I'm just going to live with the next one. Save the divorce and all the other baggage that goes with it. And it was because she was injured by her past. And maybe it was true of her parents. Maybe her parents were injured the same way. Maybe her grandparents were. Maybe it was passed down. These things have a way of replicating them through the family tree, unless something breaks the cycle. Friends, we will either pass on scars and scar others, or we will be used to break people free from scars by bringing them to the living Word. This is from Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, then one day, he was going down to Jericho, that's right, straight down from Jerusalem. Instead of going there, he needed to go by Samaria. Watch, the Samaritans was looking for a Messiah too. So he came to a city called Sychar, and he sent the disciples away to buy food. And while they were gone, a little woman come out there, probably a pretty little woman. Maybe the child was turned on the street by parents and let her go anyway, and about like today, he says. He says, they talk about juvenile delinquency. It's parent delinquency. It's exactly what it is. Maybe that child had the same thing. Her mother let her do anything, and she turned out to be a woman of ill fame, and she couldn't come out. But Brother Branham said it was her parents' fault. An amen now and then won't hurt. Well, whose fault was it, Brother Doug? Well, it was the pastor's fault. No, it was the Sunday school teacher. No, it was the youth leader. Brother Branham said it was her mother. Friends, it's your responsibility to raise up your children. Nobody else. It's your responsibility to train them up in the way that they should go. It's your responsibility to love them and nurture them and lay out a pattern for them and instruct them. And nothing can take place of godly mothers and godly fathers. And the way that we treat our mate is the way that our children are going to learn to treat their mate. I'm so thankful that there's power this evening, friends, to break the power of the injuries of our past. Otherwise, we'd all be a mess tonight. One of the meanest bands in town, Brother Bram says, there was a little woman in that city who made her living a very bad way. She was a woman of the red light, the prostitution. You understand? And the way she made her money was ill-famed. She had a bad name among the people. Yet let's think, she was just a young woman that had been turned out on the street. Not because she was delinquent, maybe, but because she had delinquent parents. They didn't try to take care of her. That's the reason many of them are on the street today. Not juvenile, it's parent delinquency. So he says this over and over and over. These women were turned out the way they did because of their parents. Because of what took place in the early part of their life that they had no control over. And this woman, Brother Brown says, was scarred. And so she went looking for love, and she found the kind of love that you buy and sell. Now, if two believers are raised in cold homes, each one independently, and they end up coming together and marrying, and they never get past this, they will be cold one towards another, and they will expect all of the love to come from the other one. And friends, people bring this stuff into the church, and they label the ministry with it, they label the deacons with it, they label others in the church with it. They will, well, the church this, that, and the other, because they come with a preconceived notion based on how they were treated before. And it becomes a complex or a chip on their shoulder. And everything, they run everything through that filter. So if two believers, both independently, grow up in cold homes, they come together, they're going to have a miserable relationship. And what will they do for their children? God wants to be our healer in every way. You see, if you grew up under that coldness, you never received the love, so you're still looking for it instead of giving it. Christianity is based on giving. It's not based on taking. It's based on giving. He's the one that took. He took our sin. Everything else he did was give. Everything we do is to give. These things are to be overcome in our lives by the word and by the blood of the Lamb. Look at the scars that Brother Branham had in his life. He had suffered so many abuses from his childhood. And we heard from his own testimony how these things affected him as he was growing up. But we also see where the word brought healing to those wounds. And brought healing in the spirit realm. And set him free. He didn't go around with he wasn't plagued by that the rest of his life. But these things take time. We saw how he had complexes that he had to overcome in his life. And some were even later on in his walk still. And we saw how he loved his dad. Even though his dad wounded him very badly in his youth. What about us tonight, friends? Can we put our halos down for just a few moments and realize that we're in here with human beings? And that we all might have had a different past than maybe the person next to us in different ways? Are we different as human beings? We're human beings. It doesn't matter whether that seed is there or not. Some people, they're spared from a lot of this as they grow up. They grow up with a godly mother or father, and so they never experience these things, and they get proud over it. Right. They think it's them. Right. And they look around, and they think, you know, why can't other people be like me? And that sinner, that rotten sinner woman, this is the Pharisees' problem. What we need to realize is accept the grace of God. That could have been you. So we hear Brother Branham going into the spirit realm time after time after time in prayer lines and speaking with different ones. And he's contacting their spirit as Jesus did. He told us that, it was actually the Messiah that was contacting the spirit using him as he'd done 2,000 years ago. That word contacted the spirit. It's the word that discerns and dealt with the wounds that lay there in the spirit realm. And when people met him in a prayer line, oh, think about it, friends. Here's your opportunity, your one chance with the seventh church age messenger, with God's prophet, with the prophet to the Gentiles, with the Elijah of Malachi 4, and out of all the people, you get to stand before him. And he doesn't tell you, well, let me teach you some deep mystery. Let me share some deep mystery truth. You're in the prayer line. I want to give you a little bit more revelation into the Word of God. Instead, so much of the time, he was dealing with the spirit realm. Born again believers, many of them. And yet the Word was working on those things that yet remained in the spirit realm that needed healing. We don't have a prophet here tonight that, and no, we're not wacko and saying, well, yeah, he's here and just play the tape. And no, we don't have a prophet here tonight that's discerning in a prayer line right now. But the Word is still discerning. The one that used him is still discerning. And the Word is still healing and it's still delivering. We can be free from bad feelings, friends. We can be bad feelings towards our parents, bad feelings towards men, or bad feelings towards women as a whole, or bad feelings towards pastors, or towards bosses, or towards people in authority, or school children, whatever it might be, siblings. We can be free from bad feelings. God dealt with the things in my past many years ago. He showed me things that, even just a few years ago, that have helped me heal in my spirit realm. I'll just share a few things with you here tonight, because so much of the time you think that I'm standing up here, thinking I'm Mr. Perfect and I'm just preaching to you. I mean, I'm right in the middle of this. I needed spiritual healing bad. The Lord showed me several years back, he showed me my mother being molested by her uncle when she was in the seventh grade, while her parents were in the other room. I asked my parents about it, and I told them, they said, well, how did you know that? And I told them that the Lord had shown me that. And they said, well, the Lord didn't show you, we told you. I said, well, you didn't, but you just did. This had so affected my mother that my mother had a nervous breakdown. She was in the seventh grade. She didn't finish the seventh grade, and that was the end of her education. You had to talk with her. You'd never know that she never finished the seventh grade. When she came to herself, she had multiple personalities. She couldn't face the awful things that had happened to her. And so she locked them away. You're not locking them away in your mind or in your brain, in gray tissue. It's in the spirit realm. She locked them away in the spirit realm so that her mind could not think on these things, because she couldn't face it. And because of that, I grew up with a mother that would try to buy love. She would try to show you that she loved you by giving you things, but she wouldn't show you love with touch or hug or that sort of thing. And it's difficult to explain here in just a few moments, but because my mother had multiple personalities, she treated different people differently. I was the one that could never do anything right. It didn't matter what I did. I couldn't please my mother. Yet there were others that couldn't do anything wrong. Yet they'd do things that were a million times worse than anything I did, but they could do nothing wrong. And so she would go from one personality to another with me, and she genuinely didn't believe that she did the things that she did to me and would deny them. And that would leave you with feeling confused and wondering what's really real and what isn't real. I didn't know she had multiple personalities until a few years ago. It finally dawned on us what was going on. My dad was her knight in shining armor. Ironically, my dad's middle name is Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T. And he was fooled by my mother most of the time. Now, in his defense, most people were fooled. Those spirits are very deceiving. And when my dad would come home from work, my mom would go into this little pity routine, and she'd tell him things about us, about how horrible her day was and the things that we did, and she'd always exaggerate it and kind of blow it out. And then my dad would overreact, which, the knight in shining armor would come on the scene, he'd overreact. And then she would switch, and then she would become the comforter. She'd become the, you know, poor baby, and I can't believe your father did that. And you're like, well, wait a minute, you caused that. She would take people in that needed help. My mother was raised that way. We always had people living with us that, you know, different people. I've got an adopted brother that's 10 years younger than me. And those that she would take in, they could do no harm. But her own son could never please her. And it scars you. And we knew as children growing up that something wasn't right. But the skill that was involved with these personalities was spectacular. So we each dealt with it in our own ways. And when we became adults, we all kind of scattered, went our different ways, and didn't want to talk about it. Two of my siblings never experienced what my other sibling and I did, so they just chose to ignore it because they could do no wrong. So I grew up thinking that I was defective. I grew up believing all that was said about me. I grew up thinking that I must have something wrong with me. And it wasn't too long ago that it finally dawned on some of us that this was a multiple personality condition that we've been dealing with all along with my mother. Now, in order to get free of scars in our spirit, we have to be willing to face the things that we've gone through, and we have to be willing to let go of the pain and let go of the hurt. When I was in my teens, I hated my dad. I hated him. I had a calendar on the wall where I was counting the days until it was legal for me to move out of the house. But God healed me of that. So the first step is recognizing that there's something that needs to be dealt with, and that you have to be willing to let go of the hurt, let go of the pain. And then we have to let the Word of God heal our spirit. Now, of course, I'm always taking a chance when I do this, because some will take your testimony and turn it around on you and, you know, psychoanalyze you and tell you, well, that's why you're this, that, and the other. Well, I don't care. I'm free of that. When the Word comes and heals us, we can look at these others that we might have thought as victimizers. We can look at these others separately from their soul. We can recognize there's a scarred spirit there. There's some damaged goods there. Something happened to my mom. Well, I know that for sure. I know that I'm going to see my parents again one day. And when I do, there won't be any memory of this. What about the rest of us? How many of us have sat in our ministries that maybe scarred our hearts? How many were molested physically? How many were molested spiritually? How many were scared by a dog in your past? How many of us have really unique, I'm being kind, the word I'd like to use is strange, unique diets, and we don't even know why we have these unique diets, but it's a result of scars from our past. My mother didn't eat meat, and she didn't eat meat because she was against meat or whatever. It's because she was scarred. Something happened. It manifests itself in different ways in your life. My mom wouldn't eat in front of us, and yet she didn't look like she was losing any weight, so I knew she was eating, but I never saw her eat. And she would play the martyr at the dinner table, and she'd, you know, be busy and making sure everybody got fed. And we'd say, aren't you going to eat? Well, I'm not hungry. And it's like, but you're plump. She was 5 feet tall, so you can't hide it. Some of us have been scarred by laity. Some of us have been lied about, misrepresented. But you can't let those things become injuries that say, okay, well, I'm not going to trust anybody in the church anymore. right? Well, if that's how they're going to be, it has to be healed or it'll affect us. Some of you are listening. Some have been beaten down by those that are in a position of authority, and they're wounded by it. And unless they're healed, they will automatically look at every other person that's in a position of authority the same way. Well, I can't talk to her if it was a woman that beat you down, or I can't talk to him. You know, he's unapproachable. And it becomes a reality. It actually becomes a reality that they live with day in and day out, and it's because of an injury, a scar they didn't cause. Wow, is it quiet? When a person loses their mind, their brain's still there. But Brother Branham said their spirit actually wanders. Their spirit actually leaves and it wanders. And we'll hear Brother Branham many times going and trying to find a person's spirit. He'll go out to try to contact that spirit and then bring that spirit back so that person can come back to their right mind. And we know that God uses ministers to preach the word, a living word that has the balm of Gilead in it, and it heals the spirit as well as the soul, as well as the body. Friends, if you're sitting there tonight thinking, he's always got it in for me, if you actually believe that, it's because of something in your past. It's because of a scar. It's because of a wound. Because it's absolutely not the truth. We're here to help you. We're here to encourage you. In fact, I've had others that said, well, he just preaches too positive. You know, he's just always the bride this, the bride that, perfection this, that, the other. And, you know, we need, whip him, Brother Baker, whip him. If you could hear some of the conversations, well, why doesn't he just tear that person up? And then the other person's thinking, well, that's all he does is tear me up. Right? It's because of something in your past. And unless you face that, it'll follow you anywhere, everywhere you go. Doesn't unchristianize you, but it will affect your walk and the walk of those around you. Being under extreme legalism will scar you many times. But there's balm here tonight. There's healing. I'm thankful tonight, friends, that Jesus knew we'd be in these conditions. And so he came down into the world, and he wants us to walk in all that he's accomplished for us. He's paid the price for everything. He's overcome the world. Those are his words. The scar will never completely go away, and it shouldn't. Because the scar will remain as a reminder of what he's done for you. But there won't be a scab there that's constantly festering and an infection. And there won't be a spot there that's tender and touchy that just anything will set you off. And though we can still remember much of the time, we won't be ruled by those wounds as we were before. It's strange how this works out. You're victimized as a child and you end up becoming a victimizer. Unless something changes. That's how these things get passed on from generation to generation. The scars have to be washed by the water of the word. The Holy Spirit has to disinfect our wounds and cleanse us so that we can fully heal. Amen? I'm so glad that we've got one tonight that was scarred by all humanity. Everyone he came across, even his own disciples, wounded him. But we see that those scars, those wounds that he took into his spirit and into his body, it did not change his spirit. It did not overcome him. And it did not cause him to act differently or to no longer reach out and love or take a chance. Love is dangerous. It's a risk. It didn't change him. He conquered those scars, friends. so that we could be healed of our wounds, so that we could be healed of our scars. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely he bore our sorrows. And by his stripes, we were healed. Friends, he heals us in every way. He heals us physically. He heals us emotionally. He heals us spiritually. He heals the soul. He deals with the soul first. Sets that soul free. Quickens it. Amen. Cleans you up. But just because you're cleaned up doesn't mean your past has been dealt with. As we've been going through this series, we talked about the Corinthians and what it had influenced them and why they were the way they were. And we talked about the Galatians, and much of it had to do with their past. But there's a power here tonight. We don't have to be afraid to love. We don't have to be afraid to trust. Oh, you might have gotten burned before, friends. But we don't have to be afraid. We can be healed. So that we can love again. We can be healed so that we can know what love is. So that we can be examples of that to our children. To others in the church. When I first came into the message, so much of what God had done for me very early on was the healing that I needed. In fact, when I listened to Brother Branham's life story, and when I listened to how the angel came to me in my commission, which a lot of that is his life story also, when I listened to those testimonies, I knew right off the bat that he wasn't wounded. That he'd been scarred. He's telling us about what he went through, but it wasn't bitter. He wasn't telling us with bitterness, with hurt. I mean, how many times have you heard people telling you about things they went through? You could hear the hatred, and you could feel the hurt and the unwillingness to trust, and the blame. Very first message that I listened to, I thought, I don't really know what a prophet is, because as a Baptist, we were taught that this was Old Testament, but there's something here. I don't know what a prophet is. I don't know what all this man believes that I just listened to. But I know he believes it. And if what he's telling me is true, the things that he's went through, which I couldn't see any reason for him to lie, because most people wouldn't even tell you those things. I knew that he wasn't scarred. I mean, he was scarred, but I knew that he wasn't, he didn't have these gaping wounds. Amen? And I thought, whatever he's got a hold of is real. I want that in my life. I don't want to hate. I don't want to, amen? I don't want to hold on to things. The secret of this is to travel light, not carry a lot of baggage. When we first got around big groups of believers, you know, we just couldn't wait. And it wasn't immediately, but we couldn't wait to be part of a body. And when we came out here to Arizona in particular, I was just shocked that this was the wild, wild west. Everybody's gunning for everybody else. Nobody's got a good thing to say. Everybody's running everybody else's pastor down. Everybody's running each other down. Nobody's going to make it but just them. And you get to talking to the people, and it's like, well, is that what this message produced? Because that's not why I'm following it. I was expecting to find heaven on earth. Now, obviously, I was a little over-optimistic, but I did find heaven on earth. I did find heavenly places. Amen. And so, I listened. And without exception, everybody was saying, well, you know, our poor pastor, look at all he's done. You know, especially the ones that buy love. And it's real easy to be generous with other people's money. Nobody ever points that out. Well, he did this for me. He did that for me. I was raised under that manipulative love. It's control. It's not love. It's trying to get you. It's giving you what you want. And it's not sincere, but it's giving you what you want so that you now become a pawn. And you're now controlled. Amen? It's a devil. That's what's behind politics. Right. And so I would hear people say, "Our pastor, you know, poor guy, he's been through this and he's been through that, and you know, that's why he seems to be so rough. That's why he's raking everybody over the coals every time he gets into the pulpit. And that's why when you hug him, you get poked. Look at all he's done." And I heard that and I heard that and I thought, something's wrong here. Something's missing. What's missing is the healing. What's missing is that character of Christ. Because it's what you go through, I'm not talking about before you were born again. I'm talking about after you're born again. What you go through does not define you. What defines you is what you do with what you go through. Because it shows what's in you. If somebody rubs you the wrong way and you get mean and nasty, that's only because you're mean and nasty. It's not their fault. But people get upset with other people. They get upset because they blame the other person for bringing that out. Well, they can't bring out what isn't there. I heard this over and over and over, all over the place. And you know this. I've shared it before, where we got up and said one time, well, yeah, you know, look at what all Brother Paul went through. You know, he was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was left for dead. How many times? Yeah, look how mean he was. And how about John? You know, they called him a witch. They boiled him in oil. 24 hours, that didn't work. Threw him on an island with scorpions and snakes and prisoners. Right? And he comes off the island saying, "Beloved, let us love one another." Yeah, I understand. You go through all those things, and I understand why you're mean and nasty. Look at Jesus. He went to the cross, and look at how he was treated. All the religious leaders mistreated him. They called him a devil. His own disciples forsook him in the end. So no wonder he got down off that cross and said, "Well, if that's how you're going to be, I ain't dying for none of you numbskulls. Bunch of idiots. You are so cruel. You are so mean." It didn't define him. What defined him was his response. That's why it's called a testing and a proving. It's a testing not because God's trying to find out something, but it's showing you who you are. It's showing you what's in you. It's showing you the character that's forming and developing in you. Friends, we can all sit around and have pity parties, and we can all have excuses, and we can all not overcome in certain areas of our lives because of how we were treated in the past and hold that as an excuse. But it's not going to cut it. There's power here tonight. There's power here to heal. There's power here to deliver. But we have to be honest. We got to be honest with ourselves. We got to be honest with Him. We got to take a chance. I'm taking a chance here tonight. But it's worth it. Somebody's going to benefit from it. Somebody's going to be encouraged. If you'd have known me in my late teens, I was very, very, very critical. So if you think I'm critical now, just be glad you didn't know me in my teens. I could find your flaw. It wouldn't take me long at all. I could find it. And I actually took pleasure in it. Because I had been under a critical eye and what have you. And so that's what you do. But God healed me. When I met my wife, she couldn't see anything wrong in anybody. We couldn't have been more opposite. I could see good in people, but I refused to dwell on it. I wanted to find the flaw before I got hurt. So my wife would say, "Oh, you got to meet this person. You'll like him. He's just so nice." And yeah, just let me at him. And I would take it as a challenge to point out the flaws. Right? And she'd say, "Why do you got to do that? Why do you got to bust my balloon?" Why do you, you know, some of us do that with one another. Oh, your arm has fallen off and it's hanging there by a tendon? Well, just believe. What kind of a spirit is that? That's rough. And then when you get a headache, you want everybody to know, pray for 5 days for your headache. Right? Come on, friends. Is it true or not? And these are, we're not going to, we couldn't do it, and it's not our job to do it. It's not our, we couldn't sit down with each one of you and say, okay, here's what happened to you in your past and all that. But the Word can. And the word can bring healing. It can bring deliverance. That's really what keeps the body from coming closer together. It's the baggage we bring along. Right? Our scars then become wounds for somebody else. Right? But we know better now, friends. There was a time when we could say, I didn't know any better. But we know better. I remember, I don't want to paint that picture. It wasn't definitely all bad when I got around believers. I was challenged by a whole lot of them too. I got around some people that were like angels. They did so much for people. You can argue about how much of it was, you know, genuine and how much was it a workup, but it sure beats the alternative. But we got around people that would just, they showered us with love. They did things for us. They bought things for us without us asking. And it so humbles you. And then you realize, you know what? The fact that I don't do this for other people, I had an excuse because I never saw the example. I wasn't, you know, but now I'm without excuse. Right? I've been treated that way. I've had this example in my life. Now I'm accountable. Right? Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. My sister has never had children. She married a man who was abused by his father. His father was a professional hockey player and a professional alcoholic. And he grew up in a dysfunctional home. They never had children. My younger sister is now divorced and married again, and just recently. And the man that she's married is a nice man. But my sister's been estranged from the family for many years, and it's because of the trauma that she went through when we were growing up. But she's also not living for the Lord. I'm claiming her. I did baptize her in Christian baptism. I am claiming her. But unless the point here, friends, and she's been to counseling and this psychologist and that psychologist and my mother's sister, you know, went through some of the same things, and she ended up going through all kinds of counseling and different ones. The only thing that can heal us is the Lord. And we don't have to go through life as damaged goods. We were damaged. And we had nothing to do with it. But there's power tonight to heal our spirit. To heal our soul. To heal our body. If we just be brave enough to say and believe. Say, God, you paid for this. You paid for every bit of this. I want to receive it. I don't want to go through my life carrying this around and being touchy over it and not even understanding my own feelings. Maybe my moods are swinging around, or my diet, or I'm afraid of this, or I'm afraid of that. That's what so many fears are all about. Illogical fears. Fears that don't even make sense. It's tied to something that happened to you in your past. That's why the prophet, I was going to read some more of them tonight, but maybe we'll save it for another time. Brother Branham, time and time and time again in the prayer line, he went back into people's past. He contacted their spirit, and he told them, this happened to you, and that happened to you. And a lot of times it was a dog barking or whatever it was. Just something that you would look at and think, well, that shouldn't be anything. But yet it hurt that person. It scarred them, and it still affected them. And God thought enough of that person to deal with it in that prayer line. Rather than dealing with a doctrine or some teaching, but to deal with something in the spirit realm. Just as Jesus did with that woman at the well. Amen? How many believes that he has the power to make us, friends, we could grow up in the worst home and God can do the greatest miracle. And people will look at you later on in life as God's healed you and he's done these different things. And people will look at you and say, I don't believe that you ever went through those things. I can't believe that you, I don't believe it. You grew up in a perfect home and you went to a perfect school and had a perfect family. Your dad was Ozzy and your mom was Harriet. And Ozzy and Harriet. That's the power of this blood. That's the power of this gospel. I don't want to discourage you here tonight, friends, but counseling's not going to do it for you. At best, it's a patch-up. At best, you're getting some things off your chest, you're reasoning some things out, you're coming to grips with some things, but it will not set you free. We don't need counseling. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Word to come and bring healing. We need the Word to come and bring deliverance. We need that thing that's attached to our spirit to be taken away. That's causing that pain and then causes pain for other people. Do you believe that tonight? I want us to take full advantage of everything he's purchased for us. Amen. I want us to show the world the power of this blood. That no matter what's happened to you, you can still love somebody else. If somebody doesn't go to this church anymore, you can still love them. Amen. Somebody needs your help, you can help them. Right? It doesn't matter. You're not sitting there prejudging or post-judging or remembering. But you're doing what a Christian does. Why? Because you're not controlled by how you were treated or what you went through or the experiences that you had in your life. Amen. You're controlled by that life that's in you now. By His Spirit moving into the center of your being. And it'll surprise you. It'll surprise you when you don't react to somebody that you would have took their head off in the past for. Or when you feel sorry for somebody. And yet they're doing something. They're treating you in a way they shouldn't be treating you. And yet you're looking beyond that and seeing the real. You're looking at the soul. And you're feeling sorry for that person. Only God can do that, friends. This goes beyond being a church. This is why we hit time and time and time again about the, you know, getting together for a social life. You're not fit to be to have a social life unless you're healed. Because you're just going to damage somebody else or use them or whatever. We can join clubs anywhere. We're here for Christ to live himself out through us. And in order for him to take full control, he's got to be able to move into those areas in our lives where we've been hurt, where we've been damaged. Amen. I believe that power is here tonight. And I don't care what it is that we faced in our past. I don't care. I mean, I don't care I'm insensitive. I don't care. What I'm saying is it doesn't matter. There's power here tonight to break every fetter. Everything that controls us, everything that holds on to us so that we can be free to be who we are created to be in Christ. I want to be nice to somebody because it's the right thing to do. Not because they were nice to me or I like them. I want to be nice because I want to be nice. I want to give because it's in you to give. Not because I have to give or I'm pressured to give. I want what's in, all that's in Christ to just flow. And that's where overcoming comes in, friends. Oh, but I'm sealed to the day of my redemption. Hey, I had the same delusion. I had the same delusion that, oh man, once I get the Holy Ghost, I'm home free. That's where it just starts. That's where your battles just begin. That's where the character really starts to get formed. That's where you get mistreated, right? That's where you get misunderstood, right? That's where you get persecuted. But if it's really in there, you don't persecute back. You don't rile back. You don't hate in return. And not because of some philosophy. Not because, well, I just don't believe in that. No, it's because there's something in you that's different. This goes beyond humanity, friends. This is impossible. It's not possible for this to be lived out as a human being. It takes God. And you know that. And you'll give him all the credit and all the glory and all the honor. It's not me, but it's Christ who worketh in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Let's stand tonight. Now, maybe that doesn't strike a chord with you tonight, but I've no doubt that you know what I'm talking about. And I'm no doubt that you know somebody that needs some love. That's why Brother Branham's talked about a man who said his wife wouldn't obey him. And he said, should I divorce her? Should I do this or do that? And Brother Branham said, give her some chocolates and some flowers. Huh? But I got a right to put her away in divorcement. She's not obeying me. Many times, a simple act of kindness. We read it in Romans here tonight. Doing good over evil, it'll heap coals. It changes things. There's power in it. We want to get to the place where we're giving people what they need versus what we think they deserve. Because if we want to put it on the basis of what we deserve, which one of us deserves anything good? None of us. And yet, unmerited favor. He paid the price. He set us free. Friends, just, I want you to bow your heads for a moment. And I want everybody in the building to meditate on this tonight. Think about when you wanted to do good and you couldn't. Think about maybe when you had a temper that would get away from you no matter what. Think about it when maybe you couldn't quit smoking or drinking or whatever it might have been. I don't know. Just fill in the blank. But look back and think about the time when you were a prisoner. When you were chained in sin. That even when you wanted to do right, you couldn't. And then think about what Jesus did for you. Think about how he set you free. Just think about all the ways that he set you free. Maybe you never did any of this stuff, but you did something. You were bound by something. But he came to set the captive free. And those that the Son has set free are free indeed. The truth, you shall know the truth. And he is the truth. And the truth shall make you free. The truth is not coming across. Satan has tried to tell this body. He somehow tried to convince this body that you're just going to get beat on. That's 100% a lie. God loves you. And God is trying to set you free. But it's truth that sets you free. So these things have to be talked about. It's truth that sets us free. But truth is not mean, and truth is not trying to destroy or maim. Truth is a key that unlocks doors. There's so many things that we didn't know. And when he showed it to us, he's not beating us over the head with it, but he shows us. We say, oh, Lord, I didn't know. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Thank you for setting me free. I'm going to live different now. I'm going to do different. The higher we go in him, the more sinful sin becomes. We might have thought at one time, well, if I could just quit this or quit that, then I'd be good enough for God. I felt that way. The Lord set me free of this and that. You come up a level and you find out, well, those things that I thought were okay weren't okay. Sin becomes exceedingly sinful. Oh, friends, it's all Him. He's our only hope. But we got to let Him set us free. We can't cover things up. We can't avoid things. We can't ignore things. But we got to allow the Word to examine our hearts. I am the Lord that healeth thee, He says. I heal you from all your diseases. Heal your spirit. Heal your soul. Heal your being. But we've got to be willing. We've got to believe that He has our best interest at heart, friends. He's not beating us up. He's not tearing us down. He's trying to build us up. Hallelujah. And when He sets us free, the only thing we brag about is Him. Because we know it wasn't us. We know how we used to be. As the saying goes, you may not be what you want to be yet, but you should be able to look back tonight and see that you aren't what you used to be. Amen. He's still working tonight. You believe that? So if He's still working tonight on you, the last person you want to look at is the one standing next to you. He's working on you. Amen. So if He's working on you, He's working on the other. You say, well, He's working on me faster than the other. Well, good. You'll be more mature then. And it'll bother you less instead of more. He's working on your patience, maybe. Or a critical spirit or whatever. Or something that you're trying to avoid. But He's here, friends. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am thy God, thy healer. I sent my word to heal your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. Amen. Let's don't let this just become another Wednesday night where we heard a sermon, we heard a thought, and just pass it on, and then Thursday comes. Friends, let's realize that God sends His word in season for a purpose. We might not have another service like this. We might not talk about this again. But He put it on my heart here tonight, caused me to take a chance, knowing that it's going to help somebody tonight. I know that with all my heart. Friends, I know that many of you have been hurt badly. I know that. But He's your healer. He loves you. We get hurt so bad that it's hard for us to believe that God can even love us. That's Satan's goal, to wrap us around so tightly that we can't believe that anybody could love us. But He loves you. He loves you unconditionally. He loves you. He loved you before you ever did anything wrong. He loved you before you ever came to this earth. Nothing can separate you from His love. A predestinated seed coming from God. But you've been bruised. You've been hurt. But there's healing here tonight. Oh God. Let's just give Him a few moments. Maybe if there's nothing that comes on your heart, think about your brother or your sister. And not in some kind of self-righteous way, but in genuine love. Pray for somebody. Pray for yourself. Say, God, I want to accept everything that You've done for me. I don't want to have an attitude. I don't want to have a complex. And I don't want to be afraid to be in this situation or that situation because of something that maybe I don't even know. I want to be free, though. I want to be able to look everybody in the eye without blinking. I want to be able to walk by people and not think they're thinking bad thoughts about me or talking about me because of something that happened to me in my past. I want to believe that everybody loves me. And if they don't, that's their problem. Because God loves me. I want to be completely free. If that's you tonight, why don't you just lift your head and say, God, heal me tonight. Let Your spirit walk the aisle. Move through every heart. Lord, as only You can. You're the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, Lord. As your word goes forth, it heals. Father, there will not be a person in the building that will say, Brother Baker did this for me, or Brother Andy, or Brother Eli, or Brother Vince, or anyone else, Lord. But they'll say, you did. Lord, you knew what I was going through. You caused a service to go a certain direction or a certain sermon to be preached because you know. And Lord, you came my way. And now, Lord, I want to heed to what you've brought my direction. I want to receive it tonight, Lord. Maybe you've been hurt by somebody very deeply. God's here to heal you. Maybe somebody in authority has caused you to fear authority. God's here to heal you. Maybe you were never loved as a child. God loves you. He wants you to experience that love. And when you do experience that love, now you'll know how to love others. You won't be looking for love. You'll be loving. Whatever it might be. So many things that we struggle with are not the here and now. It's something in our past. But God has given us grace and power, and He sent His word to heal us from our past. We'll still have the scars, friends. I got scars on my hands. I got scars on my face. I can point to when I got hung up on a fence, or when I went through a corner of a dresser, or when my head got cut open. But those places don't hurt. And those scars are not affecting me today. But they are reminders of maybe something that happened to me and healing that came. You'll still remember maybe not being loved the right way, but God can bring that love and love that off of you where you're no longer a victim, but you're whole. Oh God, Father, just make us whole tonight. Move through the body, Lord, from the front door to the back door, Lord, all the way through. Father, may we just have such liberty in you. May we just let go and just believe tonight and take a chance tonight, Lord, that you'll heal us. Father, maybe we've suffering from nervousness and we've been told, well, I've always just been a nervous person. Well, Lord, maybe it's something that we're not even aware of. We're not even conscious. Lord, it's my mother couldn't even face these things. She wasn't even, part of her mind wouldn't let the other part of her mind even know about these things. But Lord, you're here. You know, you search the hearts. You know the heart. No man knows the heart, but you can search, Lord, into that spirit realm. And you can bring healing. You can bring deliverance. Father, we don't want to be anxious. We don't want to be nervous. We certainly don't want to be confused. You're not the author of confusion. So, Lord, we believe it's possible to be at peace tonight. We believe it's possible to be able to go home and sleep tonight and not be fearful. We believe it's possible to get up in the middle of the night in the dark and not be afraid. And, Lord, you've purchased that for us. We know, Lord, that the world has caused all these different fears, but your love has come to cast all those fears out, to deliver us. Oh, God, we just want to receive it tonight. Father, bless my brothers here tonight. Bless my sisters. Lord, move on every heart. Father, if there's nothing that's moving on our heart that comes to our mind, Lord, we certainly got loved ones. We certainly got many others, Lord, that we can identify with. We don't need to go tell them. We certainly don't. In fact, we don't want to go tell others. We want to pray for them, Lord. Believing that if you can heal anything, Lord. Which is harder, Lord, for you to heal us of cancer or to heal us of a wound in our spirit? Which is harder, Lord, for you to change our soul or to heal our spirit realm? Which is harder, Lord, heal our spirit realm or change our body? We know that the body's going to be changed. Lord, I just pray that you move on every heart here tonight, Lord, in every measure. Father, may we forgive one another truly. Lord, and I mean forgive in the sense that we'll never bring up anything ever again that ever got between us, Lord. That would not build up walls and say, well, I can never be friends with that one again because I got hurt. Lord, you can love that off of us tonight. You can bring healing where we were genuinely injured, Lord. And cause us not to look poorly on anybody else, but realize it's all the devil. It's our enemy. Father, you're not the author of any of that. Move through this body tonight, Lord. for your honor and your glory. In Jesus Christ's name. You are the Lord, my healer. You sent your word and healed my disease. You are the Lord, my healer. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the God that healeth thee. Oh, he's here tonight, friends. Hallelujah. I can see people getting healed right now. Hallelujah. Oh, it makes it all worth it, friends. Joy.